Hello and welcome to the Saxo Market Call. It is Friday, 2nd of October, 2020, and history in the making overnight as we see a tweet out this morning from Donald Trump that he and his wife Melania are have been diagnosed positive with COVID-19. A bit surprised, not at the reaction, which of course is risk off and to some degree dollar positive, although it's switching a bit more to yen positive. But that the market was a little bit more cautious when it was clear that he was exposed to a sick aide, Hope Hicks, over the last couple of days, also in Air Force One. But anyway, that doesn't matter. What matters is he's diagnosed positive. And we have very different, we can talk through the market reaction, but I think the key point here is this could go two very, very different ways, depending on how his case of COVID develops. The very mild or asymptomatic way would be extremely different from a case like Boris Johnson's, where of course he was ended up in the hospital and on a respirator. If it's a very mild and asymptomatic case, he's back perhaps not in the debate on the 15th, although I guess that's an outside possibility if he tests negative before then. But he can brag about that the illness is really not that much to fear, and it's only extremely fragile people that get ill. And of course, we all know if it's a more severe case, then this is really what's the market's concerned about and throwing into doubt Trump's chances in the election, and is of course his ability to campaign could be offline for some time. I briefly reviewed Boris Johnson's case here, and he announced on the 27th of March that he tested positive, and it wasn't until April 6th, so some 10 days later, that he was admitted to the intensive care unit, and he was he was out of the intensive care unit for after 3 or 4 days, and then was left and was able to leave the hospital on the 12th of April. So altogether, a little over 2 weeks. That kind of timeline is about half the distance from now until the election. We have no idea how this will turn out. But let's go through the market reaction. Somehow we managed to close on a strong note and above that resistance. You can see on slide one, the NASDAQ 100, despite this lack of U.S. stimulus, the House Democrats went ahead with their larger package of $2.2 trillion. They passed that. But it has no chance of passing the Senate. So it's just a symbolic move and apparently negotiations ongoing. But the question is whether anything can get done between now and the election. And despite that, we saw U.S. equities closing up. Peter, take us through how you're absorbing this news. And you've got some thoughts on the VIX here.
Yeah, I don't want to pretend like I know where this market is going, given how dynamic the situation could be around the news flow on Trump's COVID-19 positive case here. But nevertheless, I think you can always argue how much of an overreaction is. I think what really matters for equities is actually more the fiscal impulse and the lack of the agreement in the House compared to actual maybe the Donald Trump's testing positive. That's sort of my idea. It means a lot more longer term for equities, and they are discounting the future. So we need that stimulus going. But I agree with you, John. I don't think it seems very likely until we get on the other side of election. So, but we're down in the NASDAQ 100. We're back into the trading range, as we have been saying all along. I actually had prepared last night that I was about to say that my range trading arguments for the past couple of days were just smashed, and now we had broken out. But luckily, now we are back into the range, so which I think we'll stay in quite firmly unless we get strong earnings in a couple of weeks. That changes everything. But we'll talk about that later when we talk about PepsiCo's earnings. But I want to go to slide two, because I think this is actually what is the most important and reaction function that we're seeing, is that not a big surprise. We have the VIX futures trading at around 34, the 34 handle. It's up around 3 points on the news. So that means, give or take, that the long, short-term VIX futures could be up around 20% on the day. We have the VIX futures as a small insert, and then the bigger chart here is an ETN listed on the exchange in Germany that is tracking these short-term VIX futures being long. And as you can see here, it's typically a trade with a negative carry, so timing has obviously its importance. But the major point here is
break in there. If I'm a little bit confused here, then I think maybe some of the listeners are.
Yeah.
But what you mean by long is, you mean, of course, that they're long volatility. So they're if you're buying, whether it's the VIX futures or this ETN, it's in the expectation that volatility will rise. Just to make that small point, and then I'll let you continue.
Exactly, but yeah. It's a good point. You're betting on the VIX volatility basically to go higher, or the expectations of volatility to go higher. That's probably a more accurate way to phrase it. But the most important thing is actually the link to the other insert, which is an FT article that was done recently where they talked about safety trades that failed in the turbulent September. And the whole point is that gold actually sold off with equities in September. And on this Trump news, we saw very muted reaction in gold overall, although there is a range there. It's the overall the response has not been in line with the reaction in equities on the downside, and you're not seeing any response in the US treasuries. So it seems more and more likely that we're moving into a new regime where you have to be much more actively trading your risk, your equity risk in your portfolios and asset allocations. And I think that's a very important theme, and we'll touch more on that in our next quarterly outlook for the Q1. So that's something that we'll be talking a lot more about.
I think it's a massive point. When your hedges aren't working, you're really in trouble in terms of knowing what your risk is.
Exactly.
And that works on the fixed income side as well. When we've talked a lot about the 60-40 portfolio, the equity bond mixture there. And we highlighted the little spike in U.S. yields, what's now in 2020 hindsight, a mild spike in U.S. yields, completely wiped out now. So we're back to nowhere and going nowhere in treasuries. Ola, Peter touched on gold there, but I think the one thing that's more interesting here was the fact that overnight you've seen some of these inflationary trades stumbling badly well before anything was announced on Trump's COVID case. Copper just absolutely the bottom falling out there suddenly, and oil looks pretty dicey there. I guess you could call it an upside down cup and handle on the left chart on slide 3 here. Take us through what commodity markets are looking at.
Well, commodity markets were, especially those depending on growth, already reeling somewhat from the continued rise in COVID-19 cases around the world and the risk of renewed lockdowns. We're seeing some major cities, potential places like Paris going to lockdown again, Madrid, there's been some discussions. And it's obviously adding to the weakening fundamentals that we've been talking about now for the past few weeks. Demand is not growing as fast as it should, as expected, and new supplies coming into the market from the likes of Libya. So it's putting oil price under pressure. Actually, it's been doing on the back of that. It's been doing reasonably well, holding on to that 39.50 level, which we have tested once again this morning, and that's potentially due to the fact that the low oil price for longer will continue to sap production in the U.S. and thereby stabilizing the market. But copper is the big one, and I think it just once again just goes to show it's really important not only just to look at the trends, but looking at and also what's happening underlying. And the underlying fundamentals has been weakened. We've been highlighting that for the last 2 weeks or so, that so inventories are starting to rise again at the LME warehouses, and also some signs that demand from China has started to taper off. So we've had a almost a classical bull or bear flag reaction here. We saw the initial reaction down last week. We recovered a bit, and now we've seen the collapse. And just looking at that formation, we almost reached the target. Well, we did reach the target overnight, but we have to remember speculative longs in copper right now was at a 2.5-year high Tuesday last week, and they obviously now are suffering some setbacks. And we also have to remember China has been closed yesterday and today, so they will come back on Monday with copper prices sharply lower, and they obviously are a big part of the speculative, not bubble, but speculative interest that we've seen in copper in recent months.
All right, and if we look at the reaction in Forex, I think a very confused one so far. The most obvious thing being with some risk sentiment weakening, we're seeing smaller currencies and weakening, and the Japanese yen stronger. On slide 4, I just put an intraday chart of Aussie yen. You can see the scale of the reaction there. The dollar first jumping on the news before fading quite a bit, actually almost back to where it was at its at its weakest overnight. I guess the thinking there is that this enhances Joe Biden's chances in the election, which I think is the consensus is that that outcome is more dollar negative for the long term because of fiscal excess and the lack of ability for the rest of the world to finance that fiscal move, or at least uncertainty in the U.S. is not good for the U.S. Whatever the thinking is there, I think still the dollar would be expected to do well if we're looking at a generalized risk off. And then I just want to underline this, the ridiculous volatility intraday around the Brexit news, which has failing to produce those positive headlines. The latest news has been they are not in agreement enough on this so-called landing zone, or what they say would allow them to go into the, quote, tunnel or, quote, submarine. In other words, they haven't agreed sufficiently on principles to allow the final crunch phase of negotiations to get the details hammered out. I think this could continue to go on for a couple of weeks, maybe even more, and just to be the victim of you know, the headlines. So consider long volatility in either direction or even in both directions, where one can dynamically hedge and make returns on hedging around long volatility, or consider put spreads, call spreads, both for the next, let's say, 2 weeks to 1 month, assuming that something develops within that time frame, and or beyond the December 31st end of this transition period. I don't think we're going to be much the wiser, and technically looking for a close below 127.50 in cable, which is sterling versus the dollar, or above 130 for an indication. Ola, just briefly, before we get back to other stories, the gold price is actually starting to pick up a bit this morning, well above 1900 as we're talking here. I don't know if that's a bit of 1-2 on the dollar, or if it's a treasury support for treasuries coming in that might be giving it a boost there. What's to you the key level that sort of indicates, okay, now we have a reversal of this this episode of recent episode of weakness?
Well, I think we just have to look at the retracement levels. Trend lines tend not to work that great. So even though I put in a trend line there, which is coming in around the 25 level, we probably need to just see it. We can see it, need to see it a bit higher than that before we can say we are out of the woods. But the gold obviously overnight has been a story in two chapters. It was weakening after breaking above 1900 yesterday on this stimulus impasse news from the U.S. and then obviously had to react to the Trump news, and I think it's a day like this where it's also important just to watch gold in other currencies, because we could see actually while the dollar was strengthening, gold was actually holding on and starting to move higher as well, which is obviously a sign of strength that it can manage to rally while the gold is while dollar is rallying as well. So it's come up to it's back above 1900 as we also said yesterday. If this was it in terms of correction, it was a weak correction, which still highlights the market is in a strong uptrend, and I think the first confirmation of that would be if we can start to break above this 1935 level. And I just added the gold silver chart, because this is a gold story today. So even though obviously silver has been lacking quite somewhat in terms of performance lately, it is not really kicking off, even though gold is trading higher this morning. So for now, it is a safe haven story more than anything else. And yeah, bond yields are real yields are a couple tick lower, and that obviously does add some support as well.
All right, now, Peter, you've got a glass half full chart here on slide 7 with the Eurcoin, pulling out the Eurcoin growth indicator, which is an indicator of European growth prospects. But we need to see some more. We need to see some more data, don't you think? Or I guess you could just say it's just good news given what all the headlines are telling us.
I think it was just important to, just as we did recently with the inflation numbers turning around, I think it's important also to note when you had turnarounds in these indicators, because the Eurocoin is sort of it's a coincident indicator that tries to create an estimate for economic activity in real time. So on a monthly basis, where GDP is often only a quarterly, often revised a lot. So it was just a pretty sizable, forceful rebound here. It's driven by surveys mostly. So you're right in that context, John, that we probably have to tread carefully here on interpreting too much. But I think it's still quite staggering that you're seeing a rebound in September, given the rising COVID-19 cases. But actually, before we go to slide 8 and talk about earnings, because the earnings season is coming up very soon, John, I just want to highlight we actually haven't touched on this news which came out this morning on the ECB. Is saying that they now will be running active experiments with the digital euro, and the whole project will start on October 12th and will be running through into next year. So they will actually beginning to work with the digital euro. I think actually from a longer term perspective, I don't know what your thoughts are, but I think it's actually quite interesting because we have talked about this with Steen as well, that if you really want to clamp down on money laundering and criminal activities in your monetary system, you need to have a transparent digital currency to do that actually. So you can see every single steps the money takes in the system.
And you can also force inflation higher by But with a digital currency, by all means, an easier task when you have that, because then you can just reset the value relative to cash at any point in time.
Good point.
And that's a key component of the digital move, a potential move to digital by all these central banks. Anyway, where they talk about the ability to redenominate cash relative to the digital realm, and yeah, the criminal side, of course, is another aspect of it too. But do take us through the PepsiCo earnings. Quite an impressive chart there. That's a 5-year chart you put on slide 8. It's closing up at a not a multi-year high, but almost a high since the COVID times. Anyway, COVID reaction.
Exactly. It's PepsiCo has been a remarkable success story relative to Coca-Cola, being very successful branching out of soft drinks markets and into snacks and other parts of the consumer staple / food industry. But the reason why I'm highlighting PepsiCo is it seems to me that it's following on this trend that a lot of the earnings release that we have got over the past months or so, the ones that are off the typical calendar, we also had H&M earlier this week, they're all beating estimates, and they all actually seem a little bit more positive given relative to the estimates from analysts. And I'm wondering whether this is actually another highlight of what to expect in the earnings season. I'm actually leaning towards that we could have a very strong Q3 earnings season where the outlook is actually more positive, because PepsiCo sounded very upbeat actually for the business over the coming year. Although they say that there are still some elevated costs from COVID-19, and they don't think that that will go away. They still saw pretty healthy demand across their businesses. So I think it's shaping up to be a very interesting, a potential, a positive catalyst for equity markets when the U.S. financials start the show in around 10 days from now.
Yeah, it'll be great to see how that news is absorbed as well, because then you have, of course, the election coming up so soon after most of earnings season is done. So just to see how confident investors feel in reacting to that near-term positive news, if that's what we get relative to uncertainty around the election. Just briefly wanted to mention before I talk about the calendar for today, where I don't think we're, even though it's a non-farm payrolls day, I'm not sure it's all that relevant for market reactions around here. It's ahead of a weekend. Of course, you have to see how Trump's situation develops over the weekend. And that is a link I sent out to what happens when the president is incapacitated from Brookings. It was something that was written back in July, but of course now it's relevant with President Trump's COVID case. Just reminds you what has to happen, that Mike Pence all of a sudden will be extremely isolated in terms of his contact with anybody. And maybe that affects next week's vice presidential debate. I don't know. But I think it's an interesting read nonetheless. I tweeted it out on the @SaxoMarketBell Twitter feed and my own feed as well. But back to today, we have unemployment data for the month. We saw the ADP payrolls, private payrolls number outperforming at plus, I think it was 750 almost. And then yesterday we saw a much better than expected continuing claims drop of a million jobs, actually, relative to the revised figure. So we'll be looking at that. But again, for the forward outlook, it is about this next round of stimulus coming in. So and then, of course, we have the COVID-19 case uncertainty heading into the weekend. So I'm not so sure the market wants to stick any reaction to data unfolding today. Next week, you can see on slide 9 what we have on the calendar, one of the more interesting points being the RBA meeting on Tuesday and then that vice presidential debate on Wednesday. So stay tuned for that. Be very careful out there. Let's see how things develop. And we'll be back Monday with the next Saxo Bank Market Call. For today, thanks for joining.